Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the creator has allowed us to come before you another day, bringing to you his great and exalted words, even the words of Yah. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth. For Yah ordained me to tell you the truth, so this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our king. He is our judge. He is our lawgiver. And he is our only savior, and not just of Israel. Yah is the savior of the world. And I thank the Most High for allowing us once again to come before you to bring to you his words. Yesterday we dealt with the order of unity. And what is order? Order is the various ordinances or the various steps or the various numbers in order for you to know and for you to understand how to achieve unity. So we're dealing with the order of unity. And yesterday we dealt with the first order of things concerning unity. The first order of things concerning unity is to understand what is unity. What is it? Well, the word unity is only mentioned in the scriptures one time. And the one time you will see it mentioned in the scriptures, it is mentioned in the seem like irony that is only mentioned one time, because the word unity means one. So in the book of Isaiah, I apologize, the book of Psalms 133, and this is what it says. Psalms 133, this is what we dealt with yesterday, the first order of unity, and that's to understand what it means. How can you have it and you don't even know what it means? Watch what it says. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there Yahweh commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. So we see here, it is pleasant. It is good for brethren to dwell together in unity. And what is unity? In other words, this means how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together as one. That's what's beautiful. That's what's pleasant. That is what is good. So good that it said it's like the precious ointment upon the head and that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garments. In other words, it starts at the head and it runs down. Head to the beard, to the garment, all the way to the skirt. And this is how unity not only is described, but this is also how unity is supposed to be achieved. It starts at the head and goes all the way down. Without understanding this, without knowing these scriptures, how can we achieve unity? It's easy to say, well, because Yahweh will make it happen. Well, Yahweh make everything happen. We can't make nothing happen. But Yahweh said his people, his servant, is the instrument that he will use to bring about his pleasure, his purpose, his desire. This is what his servant is made for. So who do you think will bring truth to the earth? Yah's servant, in whom his soul delighted. Who will bring judgment? His servant. Who will make the law honorable? His servant. It is all through or come from the Most High, but his servant will be the instrument that he will use. And who will bring the people together? His servant. But his servant has to know what unity is. And unity is the ability to come together as one. We brought out the fact that in this unity, you can begin to understand why so many things go wrong. Because there is no unity. And our people lack unity. And that is because they themselves are not operating as a unit or as one. And just one example before we go to part two. Because part one is to understand what unity really is. In the book of Genesis, and we brought this out yesterday in the book of Genesis. Now, unity is not regulated just to a relationship or marriage or that's where it begins, however, but it's not regulated today. Because not only you have to have unity in the marriage, you got to have unity in the family. And not only you have it in a family, you got to have unity amongst the tribes. And not only you have to have unity amongst the tribes, you have to have unity amongst the nation. And not only you have to have unity amongst the nation, all those who have a heart to dwell and live and sojourn with our people, we also have that unity with them. And the most important thing about unity, you want to be one with your maker. That's the number one thing. Since unity means one. In the book of Genesis, the second chapter, this is what it says. In Genesis 2, and this is what it says in the 23rd verse. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So we see here, this is how this unity runs downhill. This is how you become one. It starts at home first. Of course, in our community, we have the highest divorce rate among any people. Upwards of 60-something, 70% of marriages in the black community is ruined even before they start. And why? Because our people don't know what being one is. One is having unity. And unity is being one. And if you are one and you become one, then it's hard to separate. And this is how you want your relationship. You want your relationship to become inseparable. It don't mean you're not going to have disagreements. It don't mean you're not going to have challenges. It don't mean you're not going to have problems. But it does mean if you have unity, you're going to be inseparable. So Adam made it crystal clear that you had to be one flesh. And if you are one flesh, then you'll be one in spirit. And if you're one in spirit, you'll be one in flesh. Oftentimes, if the spirit is not with the flesh, or the flesh is not with the spirit, then it's impossible for one to be one with anyone else, because they themselves are divided. So what is part two speaking about? Part one is understanding that, okay, to have unity, we must become one. All right, now what I have to do is I have to decide if this is what I want. Do I want unity? Before I even go down this rabbit hole, before I even walk down this path, but don't go down the hole and then try to turn around. That's very difficult and it's very backwards. Know what you're getting yourself into before you get yourself into it. Ask yourself, do I want unity? And if the answer is yes, know that there will be challenges that will try to prevent you from having something precious and good. And that is unity. So let me show you a few things you want to know and understand for part two of the order of unity. Again, part one is understanding that it is one. Unity is one. You have to become one unit. Watch what it says in the book of Amos. And we're dealing with part two of the order of unity. And watch what this says in the book of Amos, the third chapter. And it asks a very important question, which it should be a very easy answer. And this is what it says. Amos 3 and 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? In other words, this is really giving you really no, it's giving you an answer or asking a question, rhetorical question, that there's only one answer to it. And that is, question, can two walk together except they be agreed? And the answer is, no. Two can only and exclusively walk together, period, except they be agreed. So two cannot walk together if they're not agreed. There are no exceptions to this rule. Either you agree or you don't. If you don't agree, if the two don't agree, then they cannot walk together. It's just impossible. You can't even walk, period. I mean, she can walk that way, you can walk that way, or both y'all, he can walk that, but y'all not walking together. So really, you're not walking at all. If you're not walking together, you're not walking at all. And if you're not walking at all, it's only because you don't have no unity. You're not walking as one. So part two, it's not only having the ability to know and understand that unity in of itself means to be one, means to be a unit, means to be all together. But then you have to demonstrate it. You can't talk the talk. You got to walk the walk. And this is the stage in which the mass majority of the people fail. They talking the talk, which is unity, but they're not walking the walk. And I'm going to show you why many fail at this stage before they can even continue on in this great, good, precious thing called unity. Watch what the script says in the book of Ecclesiastes. No people are more divided than Israel. Even a Democrat and a Republican have more agreements than us. In other words, they'll rally around the flag. They'll rally around each other during a time of war. During the times of tragedy. But when do Israel come together? And when do they become one unit? In the book of Ecclesiastes, the fourth chapter, this is what it says. And I'm going to start reading at the 9th verse. And it says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he have not another to help him. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So in other words, when you can't even talk about a unit until you at least have two. And two is always better than one. Even though you got many people saying, I don't need nobody else. I don't want nobody else. I do fine alone. I'm okay by myself. I can't do crowds. I can't do people. I can't do. Well, that's just your selfish problem. There's a lot of selfish people like that. And I know you'll come up with all kind of excuses to make this scripture invalid. But it's not invalid. It's great wisdom. Either two are better than one, or it's not. Here the scriptures say two is better than one. But in your mind, you're going to make your lonesome self better than all the twos while you are miserable. But no, two is better than one. Even if you were by yourself, how can you have unity with anybody? You just want to be alone. You want to be by yourself. You want to do everything selfishly. I just want my own vision. I just want to do this for myself. Let me experience this on my own. Let me fall on my own. Don't want to fall on their own without a backup. This is what selfish people think. This is how selfish people talk. But this is not the talk of a unified people. Yahweh said this to Cain. And watch how Cain replied. And this is how selfish people would and will reply. Watch what it says in the book of Genesis, the 4th chapter. And watch what it says in the 9th verse. Genesis 4:9. And Yahweh said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And watch what Cain's reply is. And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And the answer is, yes, you fool. You're supposed to be your brother's keeper. You're supposed to have your brother back. You're supposed to be a unit. You're supposed to have unity. And why? How good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. But we have the spirit collectively as Cain. Am I my brother's keeper? And the actions are, no, you're not your brother's keeper, because you act like you ain't your brother's keeper. So when your brother down, you're not going to lift them up. When they're cold, you're not going to warm them up. When they're hungry, you're not going to feed them. When they need help, you're not going to be their aid. And why? Because really, there is no unity. There's no unity at all. Unity brings responsibilities. And nobody want to be responsible for other people. But why not? Are you your brother's keeper? Furthermore, in the book of Genesis, the fifth chapter, because let's get right to the chase. See, at the end of the day, first you got to understand what unity is, and unity is being one and all together in one unity, one unit. In other words, you're one. Now, if all you got is you and your wife, then be one. But then if you have family, be one, one unit. But if you have a nation, be one. And then secondly, you have to stop talking the talk. At some point in time, to have unity, you got to walk the walk. Here it is. We broadcast every day. All our equipment, the cameras, the equipment we have, the internet we use, the building that we're in, the air that we have, the heat that we have, the light that we have, all cost. The food that we buy, give out, as well as other things, the loans that we make, give out, all these things that we do cost. But then you will have somebody say, well, I don't believe in paying tithes. Well, do you believe in giving offerings? For Yahweh said, we have robbed him in tithes and offerings. So, okay, you don't believe in tithes. Let's not make that our stumbling block. Just give an offering then. And they won't do that. But yet, they would sit in heat. They would sit in good air condition. They would use the good lights. They will watch the programs. And they will benefit. And they will get fed. And even though we're doing these things, they still not walking with us because they refuse to be one. And see, to be one, you have to see the greater good. You have to attempt and try to overcome the various devices that will keep you divided. But just the opposite. What we have learned to do is learn how, even by using the scriptures, how to stay divided and to justify division. When Yahweh himself is looking for a unified people. Watch what it says in the book of Genesis, the fifth chapter. Love this scripture here, and watch what it says. And I'll start reading at the 21st verse. And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with Elohim after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And watch what it says. And Enoch walked with Elohim, and he was not, for Elohim took him. In other words, the patriarch Enoch, he didn't just walk with the Most High spiritually. He walked with the Most High physically. And as he was walking with the Most High, the scripture says one day he was not. In other words, he was nowhere to be found. But they knew that he was not attacked by some lions, tigers, and bears. They knew that he didn't fall off a cliff and never to be found. They knew that he didn't drown somewhere sitting at the bottom of the ocean. And they also knew that he wasn't on some type of mountain frozen to death, because he walked the wrong way. They knew this was a man that walked with Elohim. And so as a result of walking with Elohim, they knew where he was. It wasn't even a question of where Enoch was, because he walked with Elohim. And at some point in time, we can't just talk the talk. We're going to have to walk the walk. And that's what part two is all about. Walking the walk. Now that you know what unity is, now walk the walk. Well, what if we disagree? Well, find an agreement. What if we can't? Well, you keep trying. Because what if you can? See, that's what we always, what if we can't? Well, what if you can? And that's all you got to do is keep thinking, what if I can? Not what if I can't. And Enoch could. And Enoch did. And he walked with Elohim. And why is that so significant? Because the scripture says, how can two walk together, or can two walk together except they be agreed? And two cannot walk together. They cannot walk together if they're not agreed. They must be agreed. They must be one. They must be a unit in order for them to walk together. So you know Enoch walked with the Most High. That means he was one with them. Also, in the book of Genesis, the sixth chapter, and this is what escapes us. Because in order for us to be together, speaking of Israel, we have to walk together. And we have a lot of excuses. And these excuses seem real good to us. We just got a lot of problems we got to sort out. Well, sort them out. What you waiting on? Ooh, you know, we got to talk about some things. Well, talk. Get to talking. What you waiting to talk for? We got some issues we got to address. Address them. Oh, what's the hold up? We see things different. will try to see things together. In other words, it's just a bunch of excuses. And I'm showing you and telling you that's how Yahweh gonna see it. Because Yahweh wants you to be one. As a matter of fact, the last days, Yahweh said there's only going to be one people, one nation, under one Elohim. For there's only one Father, under one law, one ordinance, one manner. He don't got time for the division that our people are relishing in. You know they relish in this division because they ain't doing nothing to come together. And some people might say, well, I'm doing something to come together. I'm doing such and such and such. Well, that's not coming together, just having some unity Sabbaths. That's not unity at all. You got to talk. You got to walk. And you got to overcome. And you got to have some agreements. Watch what this says in Genesis 6 chapter. In the 8th and 9th verse. And Enoch was a father. But so was this man. But Noah found grace in the eyes of Yahweh. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with Elohim. He walked with the Most High. And see, when you walk in with the Most High, it only can mean one thing and one thing only. That you understand unity. You understand how to have a unit. How to be all together. How to be one, because you've learned how to be one with your maker, with your creator, with your heavenly father. So, yes, you definitely know how to be one with your wife and one with your family and one with your nation, one with your people. And these men were the pinnacle of unity because they walked the walk. And all we have today is a bunch of talkers. That's all we have. No walkers. Now, you can make me a lie and show me you walk. Watch what the scripture says in the book of Genesis 17. And what are we speaking about today? We're talking about part two of the order of unity. And I'm bringing you to the fact that an undeniable truth, there is no unity if you cannot be agreed, if you're not walking together. There is no unity. You can talk it all you want, but until you start walking it, there is no unity. So let's just tell the people the truth. We're just not unified. But we can be, if you want to be, if you're willing to put the work in. And you notice I said work, not talk, but work. In the book of Genesis 17, it is, many of our people will spend all their years trying to do things that never bring them anything. But But the one thing that can bring them good and pleasant things, they will never try to do. Here it is, the scripture teaches us two is better than one. So just keep multiplying those twos and see what good and pleasant thing you can get out of that. That's too much like good. And watch what it says, Genesis 17 and 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, Yahweh appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty Elohim. Walk before me and be thou perfect. That's what Yahweh desires. This is his pleasure. It's for his people to walk in perfection. And the only way you can be perfect with Yahweh is that you be one with him. And we would know that you're one with him because you are one with one another. This is how the Almighty see your works. He see that these people are attempting to be one. They have a heart to be one. They have a spirit to be one. So let me help them become one. Since this is the type of heart, this is the type of mind, this is the type of spirit they have. So let me help them over the finish line. But Yahweh know this is not the heart and the mind or the spirit of his people. They have a spirit of division, a spirit of selfishness, a spirit of the imagination of their own evil. This is their imagination, but not Yahweh's. Watch what it says. In the book of 1 Kings, the third chapter. Now we got to walk the walk. What walk are we walking? Well, the walk that you have to walk is to become one. And it starts in the home. So if you and your wife is not one like you should be, then this, you take this opportunity to become one. You recalibrate. You renew yourself, renew your spirit. You break up your fallow ground and change the content of your heart and say, well, baby, there's only one way for us to be one, one unit, all together. Somebody got to lead and somebody got to follow. So I tell you what, you lead and I'll follow. And that shouldn't be a hard choice to make, since Yahweh is the one who made it. So it ain't like she doing you a favor. And it ain't like he's being prideful and arrogant, saying, I'm going to lead. I'm going to be the one that leads. Yahweh chose that, not him. Yahweh chose that, not her. This is what Yahweh wanted. Watch what it says in the book of 1 Kings, the third chapter. And I'm going to start reading at the 14th verse. And watch what it says. This is what the Most High told Solomon. And if thou will walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. In other words, Yahweh gave us and gave Solomon those who we can follow and we can pattern our walk after. And in this particular case, if thou will walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, and if you don't know what those things are, well, just do what David did. Walk like David, as thy father David did walk. In other words, walk like David. If you don't know my commandments, walk like him. Because if you walk like him, you're going to keep my commandments, because he kept my commandments. That was his walk. Because Yahweh desired unity with him. And since Yahweh only had one manner of law, one ordinance, one manner, he only desired one to have one heart, because he said he himself is one. He said, my name is one. I'm one Father, one Creator, and one Elohim. Therefore, the only thing he looked for you to be is one. And this division that you have allowed yourself to relish in by saying things, I don't need no man, or I don't need nobody, I'm good, I don't follow no man. You don't follow no man? Not even King David? Or Enoch? Or Noah? Or Abraham? You don't follow no man. The scripture says, and watch this in the book of Isaiah 51. Since you don't follow no man, watch what it says in Isaiah 51. Well, you see the scriptures that way, and I see it this way. Well, that's fine. So you walk that way, and I'm going to walk this way. In other words, division. How can we see it together? That's the hard work that nobody want to put in. And consequently, all the fruits that come from that hard work, Yahweh call it good and pleasant. Watch what it says in Isaiah 51, first verse. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek Yahweh. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are dead. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone, blessed him, and increased him. And it makes total sense to me to look unto them, since they are the family in which Yahweh would choose to bring his people into perfection, to give his laws, commandments, statutes, and judgments to. So this is where we look for righteousness, for perfection, to be blessed and increased. And here Yahweh said, in Abraham shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Blessed are those that bless him. Cursed are all those that curse him. So you see how important this family was. They must have been a unified couple. But then when you start looking at them, people, well, that was Sarah. That's what she did. And she really didn't do right. You judging Sarah? Your mother? Who Yahweh told you to follow? Who Yahweh told you to look to? And Abraham? Well, you can do that. But I know exactly why Yahweh told you to walk after their walk. Because he know if you walked after they walk, you're going to have unity. But if you just want to talk like our people are doing today, you're not going to have unity. All you're going to have is a bunch of talk. That's all you're going to have. That's all we gotten. That's all we getting. But nobody want to walk. And why is it essential to walk? Because there is no unity. There is no oneness if you're not willing to put in the work. We think everything's going to be easy. You keep the commandments. I keep the commandments. So it should be easy for us to get along. No, you still got to walk in those commandments. You still got to walk the walk. So when things happen, then we're going to see who really keep the commandments. And this is why Yahweh says this is essential. When you walk the walk. Watch this in the book of Ezekiel 34. You notice all the various men that we read about and just read about Enoch and Noah and Abraham and David. These were family men. They were leaders and princes in their own communities. They were leaders who walked the walk. Yahweh said they walked the walk. And this is why, or one of the essential ingredients in their success. In the book of Ezekiel 34. And I'm going to start reading the 23rd verse. And this is what it says. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, Yahweh, will be their Elohim, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, Yah, have spoken it. And why did Yahweh speak that? Because in order for you to have any type of unity, the buck got to stop somewhere. And that's at the head. Why do you think the ointment of Aaron ran from his head down. That's where you start the ointment. You don't start the ointment like some people probably do. Start at their feet and start going up. But that's not how it really works. The ointment goes down from the head. And so you only can have one shepherd. And why? Because to have any true unity, the buck has to stop somewhere. A day don't have two mornings, but only have one. The head of a day is the morning. The tail of a day is the evening. You just can't have two mornings. And nor can you have two evenings. I know the Jewish people want you to think there's a Hebrew word talking about two evenings. No, that don't mean two evenings at all. That's just a terrible and bad translation that they always have. It's no two evenings, period. It's only one, just like it's only one morning. And in the family, it can't be two heads. The daddy is not going to be competing against his sons. He's not going to do it. It only can be one head. And then if the family is unified, they will follow that head. And they will do what it takes, do whatever it takes to be agreed. And it don't mean the head won't listen to all the various opinions and views. But once he heard it, he make a decision. Now, if that decision is different than yours, that don't mean you don't have unity. All that means, a decision is made, now it's time to walk the walk. And this is why people don't want to come together in the laws, commandments, statutes, and judgments of the Most High. Because soon as you start talking about the commandments, a decision has to be made. Soon as you start talking about the law, a decision has to be made. If you want to be agreed, you got to ask yourself, well, which way are we going to walk? Or we done had this discussion. These are my facts. All my facts is predicated on scriptures. Your facts, I still ain't seen them. And you ain't showed them. Because they ain't there. So which way are we going to walk? Well, I still believe what I believe. All right, well, you're going to walk that way and I'm going to walk this way. And now we still at the same place. We're not unified. But if you want to be unified and you're looking to be one people, as Yahweh is looking for you to be, oh, you're going to have an agreement. You're going to come up with an agreement, and you're not going to leave that table without an agreement, because that's going to be the spirit in which you exhibit. Let me show you the inevitability of unity. It's inevitable. But it being inevitable don't mean you're going to be a part of it. Yes, our people will be saved. It's inevitable. Our people will be delivered. It's inevitable. Our people will go home. It's inevitable. Our people will have salvation and be unified. It is inevitable. But that don't mean you're going to be a part of it. Watch what the scripture says in the book of Ezekiel 37. Now you will be a part of it if that's your heart, that's your mind, and that's your spirit. Because Yahweh said, I judge the heart. So therefore, if that's in your heart, and that's in your mind, and that's in your spirit, Yahweh will make it so. Watch this. 15th verse. The word of Yahweh came again unto me, saying, moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Yehuda and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick, which is two, and write upon it for yourself the stick of Ephraim and for all the house of Israel, his companions, and join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thy hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, will thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, thus says Yah, Elohim, behold, I will take the stick of yourself, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Yehuda, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in my hand. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thy hand before their eyes. And say unto them, thus says Yah Elohim, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whether they be gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be king to them all. And they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. And this is, we only divided. There's division because of sin. So as long as we stay divided, as long as we continue to have division, we continue to sin. Yahweh is not interested in a divided people at all, nor is he interested in any of your divisions. He's only interested in one thing only, and that is, why aren't you gathering yourself together? Why aren't you united to the sisters? Why aren't you married? Why don't you want to be married? And why won't you humble yourself to the brothers? Why aren't you doing the right thing? Why aren't you taking wise? Why don't you have a heart in the mind and the spirit with the intentions of becoming one with the daughters of Zion? And brothers, why have you allowed yourself to be of two opinions? How long will you be of two opinions? These things have allowed us not to progress. These things have allowed us to hand down to our children iniquity. But at some point, at some time, we're going to have to walk the walk. Time is running out. You're being tested as we speak. You've been tested all along. Now, will you finally come together and be one? And you have to start somewhere. Whether it be buying food together, shopping together, eating as one people, have the mind, the thought, the spirit as one people, having one manner, one ordinance, one law, under one Elohim, one Father, one Creator, with the expectations of being one people, one king, one shepherd. Stop walking after the imagination of your own heart and start walking with the Most High. And to walk with Him, you must be unified. You must become a unit. Watch what the Creator said in the book of Micah, the 6th chapter. The 6th verse. Wherewith shall I come before Yahweh and bow myself before the high Elohim? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will Yahweh be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Should I do that? He have showed thee, O man, what is good and what is good. What is precious? And what do Yah require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy Elohim? This is all we have to do. Now, is it easy? No. Will there be trials and tribulations? Yes. But would it be good and precious? Yes, it will be. And why? Because that's what unity is. It is good. It is precious. But how bad do you want good and precious things? Try it out. See for yourself. Watch what the Creator say in the book of Psalm 34. I love this song. In the book of Psalm 34:8, this is what it says. Oh, taste and see that Yahweh is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in Him. O fear Yah, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. Young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek Yahweh shall not want any good thing. And there's nothing better than for brethren to dwell together in unity or as one. But it don't come easy. So you got to learn the order. And you got to walk the walk and not talk the talk. three times a year at the Restoration of the Sacred Laws Conference. This is what we do. Bring various leaders and brothers and sisters in our community all over the country together to discuss our differences. Why? So that we can be agreed, so that we can see eye to eye, and so that we can finally start walking together. If we don't do it, who else gonna do it? Who else is bringing people together or intending on bringing people together to discuss their differences? Well, we are, because we know the essential nature of brethren dwelling together in unity. We know how good and precious it is, because Yahweh says good and precious. And unity is inevitable. The question is, will you be around to reap the benefits of it? This is what you have to ask yourself. This is part two of the order of unity. And of course, there's more to come. But you got to walk the walk. And it starts at the head. So you just can't look for anybody to do it. It has to come from the top. And the top has to have the mind and the spirit and the heart to do it. That's why the scripture says, the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous is as bold as a lion, because the righteous will do things that are difficult. It's not easy for the righteous to try to make people or to inspire people to come together, to think as one, to talk as one, to be as one, to look as one, to walk as one, to sound as one. That's not easy. But somebody has to do it. And the ones that will do it is called the righteous. So we have a lot of work to do. But it starts here. It starts with understanding unity is about being one. So you got to have it in your family in order for you to have it in your community, in your congregations. Have it in your family first. And then have it in your communities. And then go to communities with the spirit of trying to be one with that community. It's just like you. It's just like your community. The only difference is they just live somewhere else. Why is this so difficult? Or do we have a spirit, I can't, instead of we can? And you should know we can, because it's inevitable. So why keep saying what we can't do when the very thing we say we can't do is the very thing that the scripture said will be done? Israel be one people. Sure they can. Can they see eye to eye? Sure they can. Will this happen before they go home? Yes, it will. But the question is, will you be a part of it? The unity, the oneness. Last scripture concerning the order of unity. And as I stated before, these things are inevitable. This is what Yahweh has desired, and this is what Yahweh has purposed. This is what he wanted. And look what Yahweh said. Since we're in the book of Psalm 89. The 19th verse. Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One, and sayest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I've exalted one chosen out of the people. And I found David, my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him. Now, why anoint this one? Because this is what it says. With whom my hand shall be established, and my arm also shall strengthen him. In other words, this is who Yahweh has purposed and determined to establish his kingdom with. And Yahweh won a kingdom with no division at all. No one divided at all. And no one selfish. This is what Yahweh desired. This is what Yahweh has purposed. So, this is what we, as a people, as a community, should be doing. So until tomorrow, Yahweh love you, and so do I. Shalom.
And it's love and kindness, 'cause I know that I ain't worthy.